We've got a heck of a show planned for you this week. You're going to love hearing Caroline Stephen interview our team of trading experts so you can get the very latest market views, commentary, hints, and tips. And here is Caroline now.
Hello and welcome to the show for this week. I'm Caroline Stephen. It's great to have you on board. What the heck is macro trading? Well, Chris Tate looks at the term today and he tells us if it actually benefits traders. He gives us the real meaning of diversification and he looks at the trap of paralysis analysis. We also find out what the big bald bloke likes to trade and why. Top quality intel today from a connoisseur of the markets. Declare you're ready with Louisa's Mind Power. She tells us that how you deal with that little voice of doubt determines the altitude in life. To get out of your current money zone, you need to get out of your comfort zone. Inspiring words from the feminine powerhouse of the Australian share market. We also hear from mentoree Aaron West and how he's keeping all points of the compass covered. He tells us why he thinks not quitting your day job just yet will help you stay true north. We hear where Wall Street derives its name in trading trivia. But first up, here's the news for the week starting 31st of March with Sky Business News commentator Jonathan Barrett. So, Jono, how did the markets close in New York?
Caroline, it was quite an interesting night because we saw, all the equity markets reach record highs, pretty much on the back of some good economic data. But then we saw quite a large sell-off, and to me that was quite an interesting thing, with the Dow down about 159 points. So quite a critical reversal, and we really have to readjust our thoughts on where the market, I think, will go.
So what were the main features of the Dow and the US market?
Look, I think the market really wanted to see what was happening with the unemployment. That was the big lead-up. We got, a relatively solid number. Came in 192,000. So that was quite positive. But I guess the market got the jitters about some price earnings, particularly on momentum stocks in the NASDAQ. And as a result of that, people said, look, we're at record highs. We shouldn't be here with price earnings as high as, in some cases, 30, we have to take profit. So there's profit emerged in the tech sector, and that followed the rest of the market.
How do you think our equity markets will react?
Our markets actually had a very solid performance last week and actually closed looking very, very strong. But at the end of the day, when you get this negative news out of the US, you'll probably see it sort of flood Australia.
All right. So what do you see as the major trend for today and then for the rest of the week?
But I think today we're going to be under pressure. I think with the US where it is, and we have no major releases out of China because they're on holiday, you'll probably find that the market will try and take some profit. I'll probably expect it down about 0.5%.
And are there any releases we should be aware of for later in the week?
Yeah, we should. We should be focused pretty much on Australia with the unemployment. That's out on Thursday. And also towards the end of the week, we've got very important inflation data out of China. Now, that'll be a key as to whether or not the People's Bank of Japan will put some stimulus in. Quite all important, but towards the close of the week.
What are some hot and what are some cold sectors?
I think at the moment the momentum for the market will become a little bit weak. So when you look at that, you can see the financial sector, materials sectors, probably the ones will be hit probably the hardest because they've got the most to lose if we have more of a slowdown. So I'd be a little bit cautious there, perhaps take some profit in those areas.
Are you looking at any opportunities this week?
Yeah, I am actually. Carol, I'm looking at gold again. Gold's had a huge correction.
Your favourite.
Well, I trade it a lot. I'm in and out like I always am in the gold market because I really enjoy it. But there's some developing stories from a technical point of view and also in Russia where we've seen some pro-Russian people actually storm a few of the major political centres. And I think you might see a little bit more risk on what's happening in the Ukraine, pro-Russian supporters there. So that might provide more lift for gold, and gold technically also has a little bit of a low, so I'm actually long at these levels looking for a good price rise.
That's exciting. Any last pearls of wisdom for our traders this week?
Look, I think at the moment it's steady as she goes, but I think I would look to take some profit. We have come off some highs, some pretty instrumental highs in a lot of the markets, And I think that some of the momentum traders would like to get out of some well-earned profits. So I think a little bit of profit taking is something I consider.
Jono Barrett, thanks for your time.
No problems, Caroline.
Sick of being the smartest person in the room? Tell your friends about the Talking Trading podcast and let them come to the party too. TalkingTrading.com.au. And now Mind Power with Louise Bedford.
Once you declare you're ready, the opportunities in your life will open up. Every big decision I've made, every single time I've made a leap, it's been terrifying. There have been times where I've put my entire emotional comfort on the line, and I can tell you every time I do, I'm rewarded. How you deal with that little voice of doubt will determine your altitude. Can you visualize a part of yourself where you can dump all of your fears? For me, I picture a really skinny, anemic, bottle-top glasses little version of me who jumps at shadows and she's constantly shivering. I dump all of my fears on her and I make her bear them all. Then, once I've released those fears, I get to push my shoulders back, look people in the eye and move forward. I do feel a little bit sorry for that fearful little doppelganger, but I still visualize dumping all of my negative emotions onto her. There's a part of her that likes it, I reason, the me who's on my higher purpose. I get to charge on regardless without being held back by my fears. It's such a liberating concept, you should try it. High achievers are pissed off a lot of the time. Being mellow and getting to the top, those two things don't often go together. If you're feeling fear or even terror about learning how to trade like a machine, oh my goodness, you know you're alive and you'll get to relish it. To get out of your current money zone, you need to get out of your comfort zone. Leaps are required for you to grow. And to leap, you've really got to leave solid ground behind. And I know that solid ground is comforting, but you do get used to flying. And I have to tell you, that's where the big money is.
Macro trading is one of those words that is bandied about by those in the finance industry. And like a lot of terms, they do so without actually explaining what it means. Chris Tate, gigantor of the share markets, is here to explain exactly what macro trading is and what, if any, relevance it has for the average trader. Chris, what exactly is macro trading?
I think it's one of those things where you have to unpack the term a little bit so that you get an idea of what it means. There's two general approaches. The first is it simply means someone who trades everything. That is, you'll often find a hedge fund's referred to as a macro fund simply because they trade everything they see. They span the globe, they span markets, they span instruments. The second is a slightly more nuanced definition, and it refers to someone who uses a series, or I'll call them econometric models, to distill what's happening in political arenas, financial arenas, to try and distill what's happening and make a decision from that. So you've got two approaches. You've got someone who simply trades everything. You've got someone who tries to make a decision based upon knowing everything.
Are there any problems with this sort of approach?
There's probably a series of issues with both approaches. If we look at the first one, if we look at the notion of an individual who simply trades everything, the first problem you run into is simply information management. Trading's an information management profession. What happens is you're bombarded with information from various markets. So the more markets you trade, the more information you're hit with. So you're overstretched, so your decision-making becomes problematic. To overcome this problem, this is why trading houses will assign individuals or desks to different markets, so that they might have a desk that trades Asia, they might have a desk that trades the US, they'll have a desk that trades FX. It's very difficult for an individual to actually do that. The other problem is it lacks specialization. often traders find an affinity with a given market. They find something that they have a resonance or rhythm with, and it suits the way they see the world. It suits the way they play their game. And there is a possibility that you never uncover this relationship if you simply try and scatter yourself too thinly. If we look at the sort of second way of doing things, the notion of trying to distill everything into a cohesive decision, you run into the problem simply of the way humans make decisions. If we look at decision making, if we look at the way we think about problems, the decisions we come to are largely governed by three things: the time we have to make the decision, the quality of the information we receive, and our cognitive ability, literally how smart we are. And if we break these down into the three component factors, you can start to see what sort of problems people run into. Firstly, in terms of the time needed to make a decision, if you're sitting at home mulling over your models about Russian bond yields and what that might mean for the world, someone else might sneak in and close that trade for you. This is what happens with arbitrages. An arbitrage is simply a dislocation between two markets that is profitable. Now, with computerized technology, arbitrages disappear instantly. Think of it this way. It's a little bit like when you discover a shortcut to work. You're driving along. You find a way that is quicker than the ways you've been before. And you think, this is brilliant. I'll use this every morning. You go back the next morning and it's chockers with cars because everyone else has discovered that same arbitrage and it's now closed. Secondly, if you look at the notion of the quality of information you receive, now I have to state a bias. I believe that economics is a dismal science. It makes too many assumptions about the real world to actually be useful. It struggles because it doesn't take into account that the real world is chaotic and irrational. So if you've got very poor models that don't reflect the way the world is, the quality of information you receive is going to be problematic. You're going to run into difficulties. And thirdly, I don't think that most people are smart enough to take into account everything that happens in the world. It's very difficult to hold all these ideas in your head at any one time. So it's very hard to generate a narrative based upon all these bits and pieces you're receiving, so that it comes out with you not being confused or not being vapor-locked. Traders have a thing called paralysis of analysis. You can get so much information that you're simply paralyzed, you can't make a decision. And I think this is what happens with traders who try and take in everything. They just can't make a decision.
Okay, so what about for the ordinary trader who's trying to get ahead? What can they take from macro trading?
This is sort of an area where there's a little bit of a paradox in that the problem with both approaches is information management. If traders can learn to manage the information they're receiving, they're a lot further ahead than traders who can't. This actually means that you have to constrict yourself to a few markets. Clearly, macro trading in terms of building econometric models is beyond most traders. Clearly, trading every market in the world is beyond most traders. So what traders need to do is accept that they're only ever going to trade a few markets and they're only ever going to have a few good ideas. But that doesn't matter because it's those few good ideas that actually make you profitable, and you have to follow that. Now, we have to bring in the notion of diversification. Many people misunderstand what diversification is, and they assume that if you're not a macro trader, you can't be diversified. That's not true. A stockbroker will tell you that diversification is you simply buy stocks with different names. That's a simpleton's approach. That's how someone who doesn't understand diversification would explain it. Diversification can be systems-based and it can be time-based. You can trade one instrument three different ways over three different times and be diversified. So traders can achieve their diversification without having to know everything or trade everything. And again, it comes back to if you have a resonance or affinity for something, if you have something you do in a particular way, do it in your way. Because I often hear traders say, look, I have to trade foreign exchange to be profitable. No, you don't, because I've never seen or read in 30 odd years of doing this anywhere where it says that you have to trade a particular market to be profitable.
Chris, can I ask you what you feel a particular resonance for, which markets you trade?
I have felt that's an interesting question because it has changed over the years. Early on when I started trading, I had an affinity or resonance for options because that was really the first of the derivative markets to appear in Australia that most people can access. We did have the SPY futures contract, but the problem was that was so big at the time, it was very, very hard for retail traders to trade. So I had an affinity for options, particularly BHP options, because that had the most depth. And when you trade either in a dealing room or on the floor, it's very easy to get a sense of what you have an affinity for. That's changed over the years, and that affinity has now moved to index trading. But that's simply because that's now become available through CFDs. Mm. Index trading used to be really hard because you used to have to trade the underlying futures contract, and most were so big in terms of the size of the dollar per point that they were extremely difficult for retail traders to trade in any size. So your affinity can change over time. And that's something that traders actually have to be aware of, because if their market stops trending, if it, let's say you're a gold trader and gold has dropped 40% in the past 15 months or so. So if you're a long gold trader, gold's gone nowhere for you, but the US market's gone up 30%. So you need to realize that your game has to change sometimes. You have to alter the way you do things. And that's where simply having a modest breadth of knowledge or a modest exposure to markets can actually be of some assistance to you. It's not trying to trade everything. It's just knowing that there are other things.
So what are you trading at the moment?
I still have the affinity for indices. I would be called probably a long index trader, simply because I don't believe, because of the way indexes are structured, indices have a long bias. That is, they're designed to go up. So my sort of bias is towards them when they're going up. When they're going down, I short options against them.
Okay. Any other take-home points today?
I think the issue is to accept that you can't know everything, you can't do everything, but you need to have a breadth of knowledge. And that's really quite simple. That can be as simple as having half a dozen or a dozen charts open on the screen and simply going, that one's trending, that one's trending, that one's not, that one's not, that one's not, that one is. And there's your three good ideas. And because of the way markets are now assembled, those ideas can come from anywhere in the world. But again, you don't have to know everything. And the moment you try and know everything, you get in the old paradox we used to have at university where you know more and more about less and less.
Like economics.
Basically.
Hey, Chris, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Caroline.
Knowing which sector is hot and which is not is essential. Check out the hot and cold menu item on tradinggame.com.au for your free weekly fix.
Last week's trivia question was, where does Wall Street derive its name? Wall Street's name is a direct reference to a wall that was erected by Dutch settlers on the southern tip of Manhattan Island in the 17th century. A war between the Dutch and the English at the time threatened to spill over onto the American colonies, and the Dutch, located in the southernmost part of the island, created a defensive wall to keep the English out. And although it was never used for its intended purpose, years after the wall's removal, it left a legacy behind in the name Wall Street. This week's question is, why are they called a bull in a bear market? Be the first to email me the answer, caroline@talkingtrading.com.au. Find out the answer next week. Our mentor of the week is Aaron West, who completed the mentor program in 2011. And like many people who work full-time, he is supporting a young, growing and demanding family. Although the word job can stand for just above broke, Aaron outlines why he thinks it's important not to quit work straight away and go full-time into trading. Aaron, thanks for joining us. Many traders do prematurely wind up their jobs and go full-time trading as soon as they can. Tell me why you think sticking with a job is important.
Well, Caroline, it's been mentioned many times in the mentor program that I'm part of that people often overestimate what they can achieve in the short term and underestimate what they can achieve in the long term.
You know, the number of traders who have told me that is astounding.
It happens a lot, it does. If you're going to be replacing your income from trading, it first requires you to grow a large enough capital base to do that. And then you need to achieve an income that will allow you to weather the inconsistent returns that happen with trading month in, month out.
So how large a capital base do you think you need to grow?
Well, it depends a lot on the lifestyle that you want to achieve. If you want a comfortable income of, say, $100,000 per annum, so you can take the family away on holidays and enjoy the finer things, and based on a conservative return of 10% on your capital, you're going to need a trading capital of over $1 million. This is going to take many, many years to build. In the meantime, there's going to be endless bills and mortgage and rent payments and family.
Oh, God, all those things.
Oh, they're fun.
So, look, most people, they view their job as a drain on their time and as a necessary evil in obtaining that regular paycheck, and they can't wait to finish the day, get home and enjoy the rest of their life. Do you see any other value in maintaining your day job?
I certainly do, Caroline. And let me tell you up front, I'm no different to anyone else. A job is a job, and I'm glad to see the end of another working day.
But you know, job stands for just above broke.
It's pretty much it, isn't it? But I find that the key is you need to keep the end in mind. You know that you're going to be a successful independent trader, and you acknowledge that it's going to take time and patience to get there.
Yes.
So until you get there, you know you need a regular income just to make life work for you day in, day out. However, you shouldn't just settle for an income for the time that you're investing in work. Many of the qualities that you need for success as an independent trader are also required for success in your chosen job or career. I'm talking about things like resilience and discipline and persistence and determination, even emotional intelligence. You need that just to get by.
All right, so how can you make those qualities that you've just listed, which was a good list, in, you know, that you need for your day job, how can they work for you as a trader sitting at home in front of your computer screen?
Yeah, it takes a while to get there, doesn't it? My take on life is if you're going to do anything, you may as well do it well. You may not want to work, but ultimately you've chosen the position that you're currently in, so you may as well be successful in it.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, look, so if you identify the qualities that as a future independent trader you feel you need to develop the qualities that you need now. Otherwise, you might find out that you'll be back to seeking a job before you know it.
That's the worst thing that could happen. So your take-home message is just like charity starts at home, success starts at home. With your own day job.
Yeah. Look, and once you are a successful independent trader, it's not going to matter what you used to do, only what you're able to learn from it.
Aaron West, thank you so much for your time.
That's okay, Caroline. Thank you.
That's all we have for you today. We hope this information helps you in your trading arsenal. I'd like to thank our contributors, Gigantor Chris Tate, Lady Louise Bedford, and Aaron West. Stay tuned next week for young gun property developer Naan Nguyen when he shares his investing mindset secrets. I'm Caroline Stephen, and on behalf of the team here, thanks for your company. Trade well for this week. See you next time.
Talking Trading is brought to you by tradinggame.com.au. Make sure you're registered on tradinggame.com.au to receive your free 5-part e-course called The Share Market, Your Unfair Advantage. It'll give you exactly what you need so that you can trade confidently and safely with veteran traders Chris Tate and Louise Bedford by your side.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.